Hi, I'm Kevin DeCristofano.
I'm Sean Flanagan. We are the Ninja Turtle Nerds, your weekly podcast where we discuss the Ninja Turtle comics one issue at a time. Welcome back from Brazil, sir.
Yeah. I mean, by the time this is up, it'll be a distant memory. But it was a good trip. I played a lot of video games in Brazil, so some might say, what was the point in traveling 3,000 miles to play your Switch?
But that was the point.
I did other stuff, too. I swam with turtles. Hey, on topic, I swam with the non-ninja turtles.
There you go.
Down in Brazil. It's really cool. You're not allowed to touch them. I know there's a comedian, I don't know his name, that's got a bit about that, but they pretty much ignore you and eat whatever gunk is on the rocks, and you just kind of stare at them with your snorkel. It was really cool, though. It was just us. Like, last trip we went to Jamaica, and we went scuba diving, and it was with a big group.
Yep.
And that was what made me realize, like, I want to get scuba certified. This is awesome. They take you on, like, this little beginner thing where, like, because we're not scuba certified, mm-hmm. so you're, like, very heavily supervised, you and, like, six other people, and you only go, like, 20 feet down. This trip in with the turtles, I was snorkeling, and, you know, you don't need a certification for that. And it just each one of these trips makes me really want to get scuba certified because I'm like, there's so much cool stuff down there.
Nice.
But what have you been up to?
Oh, man. What have I been up to? I mean, it's old news, but Obi-Wan, huh? My goodness.
Yeah. Obi-Wan has me watching the Clone Wars for the...
Oh, wow.
I started it like 100 times, so I guess I can't say for the first time, but I never made it past like the first like 6 episodes before. And now I'm like, I'm going to do it. Everyone online says keep doing it. It gets better. And I think I'm at the point, I'm like 12 episodes in now, and I think I'm at the point where it's starting to get better.
Okay.
I got to say, though, I feel like I wish the show... And maybe it'll get there because, again, I'm only like 12 episodes into like a 8-season show. But I wish it was more about Obi-Wan and Anakin and less about... So far, it's very Ahsoka-centric. And I don't know. I'm not one of those Star Wars fans. You know this, but I'll say this for the listeners. I'm not one of those people who can't handle female characters. I'm not that. Like, very much... Always defending Rey online, like always defending the new Star Wars characters. It's just that, I don't know, maybe I feel like Ahsoka should have gotten her own series because, I mean, you and me, we're Star Wars fans from pre-special edition, almost as far back as you can go. We're like only a couple of years shy of seeing the original films in theaters. And with those movies... They kind of give you the blueprint for what you'd want out of a Clone Wars show. There's like a checklist based on Obi-Wan Kenobi's dialogue. It's like you'd want to see him serving Bail Organa. You'd want to see Anakin being the best pilot in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And you'd want to see them being like BFFs. Like you want to see their friendship so that when he says, you know, and he was a good friend. And I'm sure the show gets there. But right now, Clone Wars, it's very Ahsoka-focused, and I'm like, but I want to see Obi-Wan and Anakin doing stuff. What the heck? You know what the hook was. Like, why are you taking your sweet time with it?
Because they've got 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I guess initially they didn't, but yeah, maybe I'll try it again. That's one I've tried a couple of times, so.
It's an easy show to throw on while you, like, play Switch. Or something, too. So, or, you know, if you got like a 3DS or anything, really.
But I would definitely say Obi-Wan is probably my favorite thing of this new era of Star Wars so far.
Yeah, me too. I'm really liking it. It's such good character work. Like, really digging into the psyche of the broken friendship that I'm hoping to see in Clone Wars. I guess we can throw this stuff out because by the time this episode goes up, we won't even remember Obi-Wan Kenobi anymore. I'm really hoping to have a live-action Clone Wars flashback at some point. Because
oh, that'd be cool.
I'm wondering why they even bothered bringing Hayden Christensen in if we're not going to see like an Anakin. I mean, I guess we don't have to worry about spoilers because the show's old by the time this is up. You do kind of need him for those parts where Obi-Wan's like hallucinating him. But I don't know. They CGI'd Luke. So,
whatever. No, I get what you're saying. You know, you're going to have him come back and it's awesome. He gets to be Vader, but it's still James Earl Jones' voice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be cool.
So we'll see if that leads to anything. Still plenty of show to go.
And plenty of Volume 3 left of Image's version of the Turtles.
Yeah, well, we're more than halfway done.
Oh, I know.
That's cool. Wait, like, but we'll be on Volume 4 before you know it.
Quite a bit left still. And
our gap between these seasons won't be as long, listeners. We've very much detailed why we had such a big gap between seasons. And the gap between this season and when we start Volume 4 will not be as long. So the story here this week, it's issue 15 on Image. It is still untitled. Still art by Frank Fosco, story by Gary Carlson, pencils Frank Fosco, inks Mark Heike, lettering Pat Brusso, and colors by Adam Gazowski on the IDW versions. The cover date on this is May of 1998, so let's go take a look back at May of 98. This month in entertainment. Movies released. We got a lot of cool stuff in here. So, Insomnia was released in May of 1998, which is really cool Robin Williams movie, where that was during that period where he was doing all the serious movies.
Okay.
I wonder how close that is to One Hour Photo. That was another one around that time. He wanted to play a villain for a little bit, I guess. Maybe he was frustrated that they kept taking Joker and Riddler away from him with casting rumors.
Finally, I'll be a villain.
Hope Floats came out that month as well.
Oh, yeah. Remember
Almost
that.
Heroes. Almost Heroes is another one. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is a pretty big release. And there's no way I would have ever remembered these two came out the same month. So Fear and Loathing came out the same month, apparently, as Godzilla. Remember what a big deal they made out of the 1998 Godzilla?
I do. That movie is the first movie I was, like, late to. So that's why I always get to movies a little early so I don't miss anything. Not that...
I don't think I've ever been late to a movie.
Well, aren't you special?
I'm not trying to one-up you. I'm just like, you made me realize that now. Like, in my life, that's never happened. But I'm always, like you just said, I'm crazy early. If I'm not 15 minutes early to anything, I'm like, I get crazy anxiety.
That's like the 98 Godzilla's, like, legacy in my life is I don't get to movies late.
It's not the awesome song by, I don't even know the name of it. P. Diddy?
Oh.
Or was he Puff Daddy at the time?
I think he was still Puff Daddy and...
Sampled Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun. Yeah. Kashmir. Also came out that month was Deep Impact, which
is a
preview for a movie that's going to be coming out in the next issue. Everyone always talks about how that phenomenon of these two similar movies coming out at the same time. So Deep Impact got there first. It impacted first. Even though it's the lesser of the two movies, you all know what I'm talking about. It's the lesser of the two Apocalypse movies.
I think it's better than the other one, but...
I just mean
popularity-wise, yeah. I feel over time.
Yeah, it didn't make as big an impact. I can't stop making these puns.
Yeah. I feel like its impact has become greater with time.
Probably. I still haven't seen either one.
Wow. That's impressive.
I'm just not interested. I don't like disaster movies. Like, the one exception is, like, Independence Day I like. But other than that, I'm not really into... And I like Godzilla movies, but I count them as a separate category.
No, that's fair.
They're not disaster movies. They're Godzilla movies.
You don't like the, hey, watch us get wiped out, but it looks really cool.
Yeah. The Billboard number one songs... May 2nd to May 16th was Too Close by Next. Then it got interrupted by Mariah Carey, My All is the name of the song. That was number one May 23rd. And then Too Close by Next went back to the top for the last week of May. So they were fighting it out for the top spot.
I feel like that was a thing that only happened then too. I don't feel like you have songs going back and forth anymore.
Who knows? I don't listen to the radio, so I wouldn't know.
Radio? We're old. Who needs a radio?
I got
radio?
My playlists and my recommended songs off of those playlists. That's pretty much what I listen to. That's how I discover new music now, is the Spotify, and I'm sure all the other services will recommend you stuff. And every now and then I seek something out, like if it's got a lot of critical acclaim, but mostly that's what I do. Video games, and then the Nintendo Power cover. So these two were on newsstands at the same time, if newsstands were still a thing in 98, which they weren't. Right next to this issue of Ninja Turtles, you could have seen Ken Griffey Jr., the 12-page Grand Slam for Nintendo Power.
I don't feel like
also says,
that would have still been a cover game at that point, but okay.
Yeah, Nintendo Power did a lot of sports covers, which you and I aren't really into sports, so they never really moved the meter for me. But also inside the issue was some good stuff. It says, Game Boy Monster Fun Pokemon Phenomenon. Don't know why they worded it that way. Forsaken 64.
Oh, I remember that.
A game that not a lot of people talk about anymore, but I don't remember people talking about it then, but I remember it had a lot of ads.
Yes, that's
why
I remember it.
There were always ads for Forsaken 64. And then here's a good one, Iggy's Wreckin' Balls. Remember that game?
I do remember that game. I can't remember if it was platforming or a play on pinball. Like, I don't remember what the game itself was. But
no, me either. I think there was a lizard. I think he was Iggy.
Yeah.
He was probably an iguana.
I remember that, but, like, I don't know. Listeners, if any of you know what that game actually was about, because I'm too lazy to actually look it up.
I'm looking over at my shelf. I think I own it.
You probably do.
Yeah, because I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the podcast. I'm trying to get a complete Nintendo 64 collection. I've got like half of the Nintendo 64 library. I'm pretty sure I own that one, but doesn't mean I've played it. I'll get through them all someday. TV events from the month this issue came out. May 11th. ZDTV launches. It was a channel that eventually became G4, channel that would play all the video game stuff. The most notable show that the channel premiered with was Internet Tonight. Do you remember that show?
No.
I don't think I ever watched it, but I remember hearing about it. It basically, like, it's exactly what you would expect a 1998 television show about the internet to be. It was like tips on websites to go to, tips on like fun websites, professional websites, like, and then, you know, it was kind of like it would share content and tips and stuff like that. And I don't remember much about it, but I remember it was popular. And then May 14th, 76.3 million people tune into the finale of Seinfeld on NBC. So it's almost like the Super Bowl. They had 84 million that year. Seinfeld had 76 for the finale. That's pretty big.
And I'd say 75 million people did not like the finale.
Yeah. I don't know if it's an age thing, but I never had a problem with the Seinfeld finale. I don't know what people were expecting them to do. I feel like nothing they did could have lived up to expectations of the Seinfeld finale. Write us if you hated it. Let me know why. May 14th. So the same night as the Seinfeld finale, Celebrity Deathmatch premieres on MTV.
That I remember.
A show everyone remembers kind of putting on in the background while they did other stuff. May 25th, Say What Karaoke premiered on MTV. I remember liking that show. Dave Holmes hosted it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who lost the VJ contest.
Yes.
Who wound up having a longer VJ career than the guy who won.
Yep.
May 28th, former Saturday Night Live actor and comedian Phil Hartman, then featured on NBC's News Radio and The Simpsons. And he was an announcer for Cartoon Network. I did not know that. Obviously, so this is when he was shot and killed by his wife. Very sad story. That was May 28th of 98, the month that this comic came out. So, moment of silence for Phil. Honestly, one of the first celebrity deaths that I feel like impacted me. I remember being like, television was not the same after Phil Hartman's death. It was...
Yeah.
He was in every show I was watching. He was in The Simpsons. He was in Saturday Night Live. He was in News Radio. He was like all over. Futurama clearly molded some of their characters with the intention of him going to Futurama. Sadness. So speaking of Saturday Night Live, May 2nd was hosted by Matthew Broderick with musical guest Natalie Merchant. And May 9th was hosted by Dave Duchovny with musical guest Puff Daddy and Jimmy Page, who performed Come With Me.
From Godzilla.
I'm sure for their Godzilla song. Yeah.
David Duchovny and Godzilla. Yeah, all right. I guess I could see Fox Mulder and Godzilla being connected. I'll take it. So if you're looking to read these kids, they're on Comixology. And you can find them in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends Volume 2.
Deuce. So the A cover, the cover that this was originally published with, this is a very punk rock Donatello on the cover.
Yes.
Of the original cover. He's got like the... I guess punk rock. There's no other word for it. The spikes that you would see on like a punk rock leather jacket on his shoulder. And yeah, he's just, his brothers are panicking in the background. You can't really see why. They're just screaming.
It's the
okay cover.
It's not bad, but it's the rare instance.
It's again better than the one that the reprint goes with.
Oh, I disagree. I actually like the reprint better this time.
The back to tank?
I don't know. I don't know if it's just the Star Wars vibe since we started with that, but I kind of dig that one over the weird screaming punk rock album. So,
yeah. I think the punk rock aspect, it's not a bad cover, the alternate cover. It's just, I prefer the other one. I think in almost every instance, the original image cover is better. There's only like one or two where I don't think that, but this is a nice, like, if they had to replace it, this isn't bad. So Donatello's like floating in the back to tank here, and Leonardo is about to throw a radiator, which once we get into the comic, You know what I noticed? The replacement covers have more to do with what happens in the comic than what the original covers were.
And it's funny because
they're almost a panel taken out.
Which is why it's funny where they very rarely are better than the original issue cover. Because they don't, I don't know, they almost randomly seem to pick a moment.
Yeah.
I guess this
But if there's a moment to pick in this issue, yeah, it's that one.
It actually fits this time. So we open with Mikey journaling, which I liked. And finally, the Image debut. But if you've been with us from day one, the return of Clunk. Clunk the cat shows up in Image, and he's not all imaged out.
First Image appearance. Get yours CGC graded today. 9.8 or throw it away.
I'm glad they left Clunk alone. They could have done some crazy thing, but like Clunk's also mutated now, and hey, Mikey, yeah. So I'm glad they didn't do that. So Donnie's body is chilling in a Bacta tank because that's really... I feel like that's a Star Wars thing that spilled over into anything else. Anytime someone's floating in a medical like chamber, it's a Bacta tank, no matter what.
It's a hell of a lava lamp is what it is, because it's lighting up the whole room.
It's funny because this is where Turtle Comics are great with the just go with it, because I don't know how they're powering it, how they got it in there, any of it.
They must just tap into the city grid,
I guess.
You know, comic book logic. The same way they power anything in the sewer.
Just find an outlet, yeah. So Mikey and Leo are talking. Leo is explaining to Mikey that Shredder was spotted fighting a man-bat, which he assumes is Splinter.
Sounds like a tabloid headline. Remember man
bat, bat boy's boy? A man bat.
I think we brought him up on the show
before. Sure we did, but you can never have enough bat boy. So Leo explains that he checked out foot headquarters. No one was there. So Leo returns.
They didn't buy his Girl Scout cookies. They didn't answer the door.
I feel like Mikey would be the one selling Girl Scout cookies out of the four of them.
Yeah, that's true. He says it looks like a bomb went off there.
So Leo returns to the astral plane to talk to Donnie because that seems to be Leo's thing right now. So
it's very much everyone's thing, I think, in this. Well, not, he brings them all along, but like it becomes very much a focal point of the whole Image run.
Yeah.
And I like how he says to Michelangelo, "Are you coming?" Like he says it so casually, like "Hey, grab your board. Let's go scope out the surf. Like I hear there's some gnarly waves today. Like you know, you coming? You coming, bro? We're going to hit the astral plane.
Come on.
Just real quick.
Let's go see how Donnie's
before the
doing.
Tide goes out."
So Shadow, April, and Casey show up for this week's new reader recap. So they get you up to date on all the things you've been missing. And I love this moment here where Shadow wants to go swimming in the tank with Donnie just because it felt so genuinely like a kid. I mean,
I kind of want to go swimming in the tank with Donnie.
You did in Brazil.
Oh, yeah, I did swim with the turtles.
But I liked it, and it's a thing that Mirage did well. So the fact Image finally had something that felt like a believable moment to me, as much as I've enjoyed all the craziness, was kind of a nice change. So Leo asks Mikey to kind of keep an eye on him. And we go to the temporary headquarters of the Foot, which they don't really say where it is. It's just kind of their other hangout. And
we did skip over, sorry, just real quick, moment when Casey and April show up, where they sneak up on Michelangelo. Like, he's like, I thought I heard something in the other room. And then it's not really a sneak up. It's just like, I'm just trying to say, I like this panel where he's got his nunchucks over his shoulders.
Yeah, that is a good moment.
And he goes to check out the noise, and it turns out to be them. Just wanted to bring it up. It's a cool panel.
So temporary Foot headquarters, we learn that Shredder Raff has been poisoned by Man-Bat Splinter when he was bit by him. And they have Splinter in a cage.
So he poisons now.
Yeah. They just kind of... You didn't know bats poison people constantly.
It's an epidemic. Kind of. Well, isn't it rabies? I'm kind of confused
that,
on the
that's
whole thing.
Why I don't know if it's supposed to be that they forgot the rabies thing and put poison, and then we're like, it's poison now. So
all I know is it's kind of a weird last minute addition to the Man Splinter story, which I don't know if we should spoil it, but it's not too much of a spoiler that it's about to be wrapped up in the next few issues because it's been going on too long already.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're in the bottom area of the bell curve right now with Image as far as the story.
I mean, but think about this, though. That was kind of a big risk for them. We're 15 issues into the run now, and we haven't had a Master Splinter in the Image universe because he's been mutated into a bat, and even the bat hasn't appeared in most issues.
Right.
So that was maybe I wonder if they just didn't have any ideas for writing him, or if they really believed in this mutation story and that would be a cool angle for him. I hope it was the second thing, because I could totally see where you would think this will be like a well-remembered Splinter arc. And I feel like if they did it shorter, and like we said, if they did it before they did the outer space stuff and the serial killer alien, if they just wrapped it up there, it would have been really cool. But the fact that it's been stretched out so long now, it kind of lost its impact.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more next issue, because it feels very like, oops, we've got to resolve this. But for the time being, yeah. I want to know where they get this cage. Like, it feels more like a bird cage than like a cage you put something in.
I don't know. Some Batman villain must have been selling it, because I feel like I've seen this cage in 100 different Batman comics. The Penguin always has this cage where he puts like people in.
It's probably some obscure savage dragon thing we're not even aware of.
Yeah.
So the Foot decide the only way to save Shredder Wrath is to go into the astral plane. Which I just kind of went with, because none of this stuff makes sense at this point to me. So we go to the astral plane, where Raph and Donnie meet up now. Mm-hmm. So they catch up, and Donnie has been keeping Splinter's spirit at bay. I'm so confused with the Splinter and the astral plane thing, like how he's like conscious in the real world, but still seems to have complete control over his astral plane form, and he seems to be the only one able to do that.
They kind of eventually explain that part of him doesn't want to mutate back, but they don't really give a reason why. And what they show is you see like he's like battling himself almost in the astral plane and like fighting, but I don't know. I feel like Rat King stories have done this idea way better. Like the one where he was at the bottom of the well and stuff, where he has to like fight his inner demons.
Yep.
Here it is kind of confusing. It does require a few rereads.
So Leo also turns up in the astral plane because he wants to help Donnie get back to his body. Him and Raph meet up, and Raph's trying to kind of explain what's going on, and Leo loses the connection to the astral plane before Raph can tell him, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, he didn't have enough bars.
He went through a tunnel.
Services, but yeah.
So this got confusing to me, too. So Raph's body wakes up, the Foot thinks he's healed, but Leo's spirit is in Raph's body now.
And yeah, it's Freaky Friday'd.
It's Freaky, yeah, Friday,
Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday the 13th, because Donnie's in Leo's body.
Or again, back to Futurama, that episode where they all switch brains.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big switcheroo. Donnie's in Leonardo's body. Leo's in Raph's body. Raph is bodyless, stuck in the astral plane. Who's in Leonardo's body?
I don't think anybody's in Donnie's in Leo's body.
Yeah, that's the thing. I remember having this question when I read it. So yeah, I guess Leonardo's body just stays meditated because nobody ever jumps into it. No, Donnie goes into Leo's body.
Yeah, Donnie's in Leo's body. Nobody's in Donnie's body.
I feel like there's a body unaccounted for, though.
Yeah, Donnie.
Donnie is in Leo's.
Leo's in Raph.
Leo is in Raph's.
Raph is not in Donnie's.
Raph, oh yeah, because Donnie's in the tank. Okay, I follow.
See, and that's what I mean is I feel like this issue specifically, everything gets really hard to keep track of. So,
well, especially with characters like these that look so similar.
Right.
Imagine if they didn't do the facial scars and the robot armor and stuff.
I was thinking that while I was reading it. It must have been even more confusing in the original black and white run.
Yeah.
So Mikey is kind of confused as to what's going on. But, and I liked this moment too, so Mikey's working on a romance novel. I just thought it was a nice change to all the, like, dark, you know, image stuff going on. So I enjoy the writer Mikey thing. I mean, it's not as cool as his last Ronin fan fiction, but it's something I kind of hope they would bring into the movies or something down the road.
Yeah, and he's got a little crush on oh, I can't remember the character's name from Savage Dragon. The one that he saw a few issues ago.
Yeah.
He's got like her photo on his desk.
Yep. So Leo in Donnie's body picks up a radiator and throws it at the back of the tank.
That's the best page in the comic because it starts with Michelangelo typing on a typewriter with the picture. It looks kind of like a drawing of her.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's supposed to be a picture or a drawing, but it's framed and it's on his desk and he's clacking away. And in the background, you just see like a grumpy Leonardo go over, stare at the back of the tank. He says, "Nope." And then he picks up a radiator and he just like Leroy Jenkins runs over throws it through the back to tank and smashes it. And then like the first Mission Impossible movie, the whole room is flooded when he blew up the fish tank.
Yeah. So you have a moment here where we don't know if Donnie's back, and Donnie's back.
Yeah, it literally lasts that long.
And it's funny because, again, there's really no explanation. Donnie's back, Leo's in his own body, etc., etc. So Mikey and Leo, while they're not positive if Donnie's back yet, have this really confusing conversation about who to go to for help. And again, I feel like this issue is where everything gets jumbled because they start listing, like, every single person they've interacted with in Volume 3. And then Donnie's just like, "Guys, I'm cool." And again, I mean, I'm glad Donnie's back, but it's just like, oh, the CPU is just gone. Oh, okay. Like, they install an antivirus. Like, I don't understand what happened where suddenly he's fine, but he's fine. And this issue ends on a horrible panel of Leonardo. Like, I don't know if they didn't have time to finish it or what, but it's one of the worst images I think we've seen in the comic, period. It's this image of Leo at the end. So.
I'm scrolling.
It's not stick figure bad.
Oh, yeah. He's got, like, dead eyes.
Yeah. And that's where we end this one. It's just kind of an awkward ending. I kind of came up with a stupid title for it. So.
Horridus. That was the name of the Savage Dragon character.
Oh, okay.
Her real name's Sarah. I got Sarah. It. That's who Mikey's got the crush on.
So what's your title and your
rating?
Yeah,
what's your title for the... What's that?
What's your title and rating?
My title for this issue is Astral Plain and Simple.
Oh, that's good. That's way better than mine.
I've got a lot of astral plane title puns this season because, like we said, it's a very big focal point of the volume.
So my,
I think that's my second or third one.
You're good with those.
What did you have?
I have trouble with them. So my title is Dun Donatello.
I like that.
And rating-wise, I only gave it a 3.6 because I think I read this 4 times and still couldn't quite keep track of what was going on. So I did.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. I had a 3.5, basically the same thing. What saves this issue is the part where they throw the radiator through the fish tank.
Yeah.
It's just like such good action. I think they were doing it intentionally in a funny way. Like, I think you're supposed to find it over the top hilarious. Because just because of the way, if you look in the background when Leonardo or Donatello in Leonardo's body is just like lumbering around in the background, and then he just takes one look at the tank and is like, nope. Like, I don't know. I think they intended people to laugh at it.
Yeah. And like you said, we'll dive into it more, but it feels like they just remembered they still had the Splinter Man-Bat storyline hanging. Like, they went so far down that space murderer rabbit hole, hey, Savage Dragon characters, that they completely forgot about this. So,
yeah, and I just can't state enough how weird a decision it is to start a Turtles book. It's not a restart because you're using the old continuity, but you still, like, clearly they wanted to establish their version of the characters right off the bat. Because even though they're going with the old continuity, we said before in the first issue, we got Raphael getting his face scarred. Donatello is pretty much
killed.
Falling, I think, at the end of the first issue.
Oh,
so, like, issue 2, he's got the cyborg armor.
But you start the series with Donnie getting shot. That's the first thing
that's
you
true
see.
Too, yeah.
So, it's just
so
to do
yeah,
all
it's,
that.
It's just a weird,
and then do the
weird thing to go this long without a Splinter, because when we always say who the key characters in Turtles are, at least the heroes. You need your 4 Turtles: Splinter, Casey, and April. That's the core. And it's weird to just be like, one of these characters we're gonna put on ice for a little bit, and we'll figure out how the story ends when we get there.
So the further we go into this volume, the stuff they do with Splinter has become disappointing to me, because I really loved those moments between him and Lord Komodo. And I feel like if they had resolved this quicker and got Splinter back into the main story, that he probably had a lot to actually offer. And they just didn't go anywhere with him, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true too. It's when they had him, they were using him well. And then they put him on ice for a little bit. And even when he was doing the Lord Komodo stuff, though, he wasn't really interacting with the Turtles much. And you always kind of want to see, like, the classic thing that you want from a Turtles story is you want Splinter kind of teaching the Turtles their lessons. But it seems like they rushed right to having these Turtles practically be adults, because the first issue is their 18th birthday. It's almost like they were saying, look, these aren't little Turtles anymore. These are going to be like adult teenagers. And
yeah. And I think that's where, because you're in continuity with volume 1 and 2, not that, I mean, Splinter's been sidelined a lot at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they use him properly until we get to Image, to be honest. I mean, till we get to IDW, to be honest.
So it's just strange because it's like you put so much emphasis on the you're 18, you're adults now, and it's like there's a lot to explore there, which IDW does, about how Splinter feels about that, how that changes the dynamic. Yeah.
It's like everything before IDW, Splinter had these great moments and he would get like great stories here and there, like the one we just brought up about when he was at the bottom of the well with the Rat King.
Yep.
And he would have, there are great Splinter stories, but as a whole, you're almost like, this character is very hit or miss until we get there. And then you're like, okay, they know who this is now.
It's interesting that Splinter, at this moment in Turtles history, is better utilized in the shows or the movies than he is in the comic.
And I kind of feel like that's a result of them growing the Turtles up too fast. And unfortunately, when we get to Volume 4, I feel like they kind of continue that same thing. It's almost like they weren't interested in telling stories about the teenageness of the Turtles. They got that out of their system with like the first like 12 or so issues, and even then they're kind of mature. And yeah, they were like, all right, we want like adulter, more adult teenagers, and Volume 4 is the same way, even though it's a new continuity. And I think they grew them up too fast.
So that's our thoughts on this issue.
Sure is. And what we're going to do now is throw it over to Future Kevin to let us know what's going on in the year 2000. Remember Conan O'Brien used to do that?
That was a great segment.
Yeah. So let's see what's going on whatever week this episode goes up. Hello, Future Kevin here. Not a whole heck of a lot going on this week that I can sum up quickly. I mean, we've got Last Ronin continuing. We've got Armageddon game continuing, stuff that we'll be talking about in the future on our show. But other than that, not a lot of turtle news and not a lot of stuff I got to add into this podcast. So just be sure to follow us on Twitter at TMNT Nerds. Follow us on Instagram at TMNT Nerds. And other than that, thank you very much for listening. Subscribe if you don't already, if you like it. Recommend the show to a friend. Leave us a review because it helps out. All of those things. So thank you very much, and we will see you next week.